Lord Jesus, help us to follow your way. Help us to realize in our finite minds that to follow you is to make some choices, and to make particular choices excludes many other choices that we could make. Help us to discover the way of love, the way to your heart. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. What I'd like to talk about the first hour is probably the earliest name given to Christians. They were called the people of the way. They weren't called Christians, they were called the people of the way. And if you've ever heard of the Didache, these are writings that are supposed to have come from the apostles. It's supposed to be the earliest Christian document that we have. And I would recommend that that you find it and you read it. It's not long, and usually when you find it in some group of writings, there'll be something else with it, because it's not enough to make a book. The Didache. It's D. See if I can spell it. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache. It means the teaching. Teaching is what it means. And in that book, it said there are two ways. There's a way of light and a way of darkness. And really, that's what I've been talking about all week. That there's two ways. There's a way of light and there's a way of darkness. Now, I think it's obvious to all of us that if you told me you wanted to go to Tallahassee, and I told you that if you'll go out 110, you'll come to a place where there's a fork in the road, and if you go right, you'll go to Tallahassee, and you go left, you're going to miss it. And you took those directions, and you rode out, and sure enough, you come to the fork in the road, and the road to the right was horrible. It was a little old narrow road, and had bushes growing up all over it, and potholes in it, and you thought, my God, what a road to travel. And you looked over to the where it went to the left, and the thing was wide and freshly paved and easy to travel. And so you said, well, heck, I know David said it was to the right to go to Tallahassee, but my God, we may get killed traveling that road. Look at the potholes in it. And you said, well, I'm going to go to the left. I think all of us know we would not get to Tallahassee, would we? Well, I think when you read the Didache, it's very plain that there's a way of life and there is a way of death, and it mentions most of the things that we've talked about this week. And if you travel one way, you just don't make it to life, folks. It isn't life, it's death. It doesn't make any difference how smooth the road is and how wide it is and how easy it is to travel. It just won't get you to Tallahassee. You're just not going to make it. And this book, that's the whole way that it approaches this Christian life, that there's two ways. And that's what I'm going to talk about, is the two ways. And I want us to remember that I've said this a number of times, that Christianity is not a product. If you think you got Christianity because Mom and Daddy were Catholics, forget it. Or if you think, if you were of a church that had an altar call, and if you think because you went up to the altar and you said, yes, I accept Jesus as Lord, you got a product and you got it, forget it. That's not it. Christianity is a process. It's a process of becoming. It's a process of becoming something different than we come into this world as. There's some place in our life We have to make some choices and begin to become something different than our natures. We must begin to live lives of grace, and grace perfects nature. I'm not telling anybody here that our nature is just bad. I'm telling you that it's warped, it is bent towards sin, and it takes grace to perfect what God made us to be. I'm not trying to tell you that you're caught up in a horrible body, don't you? I don't believe that. I believe that God made you just the way you are, and you're good. But we fell. And we have something deeply rooted in us that is violent, violent, violent. I believe anybody that really gets in touch with their heart, they'll see that. It's selfish. I mean, we are selfish. So Christianity is a process of becoming what God made us to be from the beginning. Not children of the first Adam, but children of the second Adam. Not children of the flesh, but spiritual people. So Christianity is developing a spiritual life. A spiritual lifestyle, not a flesh lifestyle. I think that is so important to understand that it's not a product. It's not something, there's Christianity and I got it. That's it. No, it's a process of becoming. It's being converted. It's changing our minds and changing our actions. The word metanoia, that Greek word, means to change your mind. Meta, change, noia, mind. Change your mind. We translate that word repent in Scripture. The word repent means to change your mind. We've got to change the way we think. So what do we do to change the way we think? I said another thing this week that I'd like you to get a grasp of. You do not think yourself into acting differently, you have to act yourself into thinking differently. Now, let me help make that a little more clear to you. Each one of us were born into this world and goo-gooed and agog and crawled and walked and watched the people around us, watched our mother and our father, and we copied them, didn't we? We did everything that we did it the way they did it. You ever hear anybody talk about their little kid? Look at old Johnny do that just like daddy. Chip off the old block. Just a little kid, that's what he does, is he watches the folks and he does what they do. Does everything they do. That's the way they learn. And so when they get grown, you know how they think? Just exactly like mom and daddy think. They never thought themselves into acting that way. They acted themselves into thinking the way they do. And if you're going to get to be a Christian, you're going to start acting differently. You're going to start acting something you don't even feel. I don't feel like acting like that. I don't feel like turning my cheek when George slaps me. I want to slap him back. You got to do it for your thinking to ever change. You know, we all know that's how our... Why would a cannibal ever be a cannibal? He thinks he's just as right as you and I think. Mom and daddy ate their neighbor. Bless God, it's all right. Now, I want to tell you that each one of us in here, our minds are warped just that much. We're just doing something else. I would tell everybody here, if you have not developed a spiritual lifestyle, that your mind is just as warped as the cannibal. Because you watched mama, and you watched daddy, and you watched the people at school, and you watched the next door neighbor, you watched the government, you watched the federal government, you watched everybody the way they acted, and you make your decisions just like them. Usually there's two choices. I'm a conservative, and I'm a liberal. I'm a this, and I'm a that. And usually according to the family you were raised in, or sometime maybe the rejection of the family. Matter of fact, most youngsters I ever see goes through that rejection thing. I can remember going through it. When I got to be about 16 or 17, my folks became the dumbest people walking this earth. And I think, as I've observed that, I think this is why. I think we're getting to the age where we're seeing people doing it different ways. We never saw it done different ways. I mean, we lived with these folks until we were 13 or 14. We saw it done one way. I mean, meals were served at this time, and this time. And then, bless God, that's when you're supposed to eat. Kind of like it was ordained by God. Who said we're supposed to eat three meals a day, folks? I'll tell you what, you tell an American he's not going to have three meals a day. It's like it's ordained by God. I hear people say, oh, you shouldn't eat one meal at such and such a time. Who says? Who says? But that's the way we think. I believe one of the reasons a child rebels is they're taught in these particular ways, and all of a sudden they're with all kinds of other people, and they say, well, they don't do it that way, and they don't do it that way, they don't go to church on Sunday, and he's all right, he's my friend, I like him. They don't do it that way, they don't do it that way, and pretty soon they start looking at mom and daddy and say, them dumb suckers, they only ever did it that way, why didn't they try that way? And so the kids go try it. Try the other ways. As a matter of fact, can you picture, because we can do this easier with somebody different than us than we can ourselves. It's hard to see ourselves. Robert Burns, I think it was, say, oh, wad some power the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us. You know, other people can see us, but we don't see ourselves. If we can only see ourselves the way other people see us. Look at a cannibal. Can you imagine, here's a young cannibal. You know, he's eaten his next door neighbor all his life. You know. And I can see him get to be about 18 and sit down to eat him a good toe. And I can see him look at his dad and say, Dad, there's something wrong with this. That toe looks just like mine. There's something wrong with eating my old John Smith's toe. Boy, I can hear him get carried far enough with this. We have conversations like this at our table at home, don't we? Only it's not over a toe. And I can see this go on long enough, and I can see the father say, Son, we need to send you off someplace for a vacation. Or you need to go on a... If he was a young priest, we'd send him on a sabbatical. You're having some screwy ideas, boy. I mean, Grandpa ate his neighbor, and Grandpa's grandpa ate his neighbor, and Grandpa's grandpa ate his neighbor, and we're eating our neighbor. And there's nothing wrong with it. You've got some screwy ideas. I can see him send him off on a sabbatical. And I can see the kid out there thinking, you know, is it all right to eat? I can see him come back and say, Dad, I still think it's wrong to eat your neighbor. What would we do with him? Well, you'd send him to counseling. You may lock him up. Society would, you let him start spreading the word. Can't eat your neighbor. Can't eat your neighbor. Eating your neighbor's wrong. Eating your neighbor's like eating your brother. They would kill him. That killing. Now, I want to tell you something. Me and you are taught the same way. It may not be eating our neighbor, but I'll tell you what, folks. I could name you some things just as bad. I told y'all one day that Thomas Merton said the average American is more interested in his dog and cat than he is the starving people of the world. And you start walking around and telling everybody around you it's their business to feed the hungry. And your friends will diminish. It might even be harder to talk to mom and daddy than it used to be. Start telling them it's your responsibility. Start telling them what the Catholics told us in the Vatican Council II documents. If you're not feeding the hungry, you're starving them. That's just what they told us. If you're not feeding the hungry, then you're starving them. See, sounds just as crazy as this young cannibal deciding, I'm not going to eat my neighbor anymore. But that's the way our thinking is formed, isn't it? Our thinking is formed because we've watched everybody around us act a particular way, and we say, it can't be done any other way. That's it. Isn't it amazing that every individual, every husband and wife, the whole problem is over the fact that the husband wants the wife to be like he wants her to be, and she wants him to be like she wants him to be. That's where all of our problems come from. And that's an impossibility for any of us to do that. It's an impossibility.
Their political system down there.
Yeah. That's always the answer. See, if they would change and think like me, then they'd be all right. Well, I want to tell you it's wrong. It is wrong. That is wrong. Why don't we all change our minds? Repent. That's exactly what Jesus didn't come and say, Romans, you repent. Folks, he came to the people of God, the Jews, and he said, repent. You know how bad that mad that made them? It wasn't an ecclesiastical word with them like it is with us. He came to them and he said, listen, children of God, you need to change your mind. You've got perverted minds. That's what he said to them. See, this is a cry that goes to every human being on this earth. You must change your mind. You must change your mind and become a spiritual person. So anyway, we're walking down this path, and this road's wide and easy to travel, and this road's narrow and got a lot of potholes in it. The question is, are we still going to go that way? If we're going to get to Tallahassee, we got to follow the right path. Folks, just because one path is easier than the other, and you take that path, it will not lead you to Tallahassee. It's just like planting corn and expecting to get wheat. You don't do it. Okay, so what I would like to do is I'm going to take a list that I've written down here of what's down one path and what's down the other. And what I would like you to do is try to picture yourself walking one of these paths for 5 years or 10 years. You remember I said that Christianity is a process. It's a process of becoming a spiritual person. And if you travel one of these paths, they don't run parallel like that. Folks, they go like this. And if you travel one of them for 5 years, you're going to be here. And the person that traveled this one for 5 years is going to be here. You're going to get further and further apart. You'll be a different person. So let's look at them. For instance, if we were in the Didache, one of the things that it would say is one of these paths is light and one is darkness. It would say one is life and one is death. It would say one is a blessing and one is a curse. One of these ways is the way of reconciliation and one is the way of victory. Being reconciled with your enemy or victory over your enemy. And folks, the thinking and acting one of these ways will produce one thing. Thinking and acting the other way is going to produce something else in the person. Down one of these paths is forgiveness, a life of forgiveness. Down the other path is a life of retaliation. If you forgive people infinitely, you'll become a different person than that if you're retaliating. Every time somebody does something to you, you do it back to them. It's obvious that these are different paths. These are diverging paths. You become something different. I become something different. One of these paths is the way of agape. The other is the way of eros. If you live a life of tit for tat, you know, you're good to me, I'll be good to you, you're going to be a different person than if you live a life, I'm going to be good to you no matter what you do to me. They are different paths. You cannot walk both of these paths at the same time. And they create a different person. They will change your thinking. I think the way AA says it, they'll get you out of your stinking thinking. And it's a faith stance because you begin to act it without understanding it. Remember, theology is faith seeking understanding. It's living it before you understand it. Matter of fact, listen to this. This is one of my favorite one of those little sentences. I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. If you want to have some understanding of God, then do God. Forgive infinitely, and you will begin to understand how God has forgiven you. Remember that. I hear and I forget. You think about that, folks, of all the things you've heard and how much of it you remember. It's gone. But you see and you remember. This is why little kids and you and I watch people, and as we watch them, we remember the things we see. You don't rob that from us. That gets imprinted in our subconscious some way. But when you do, you understand. You know, you can go to school and get all the book learning you want. You can go and study to be a mechanic and not know one thing about fixing a car. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. You tear one apart and put it together a few times, and you understand. So what I'm talking about is traveling a way of doing a particular thing, and it'll change you. One of these paths, you walk down it, and there's freedom, and the other, there's fear. You live a life of fear. And if you live a life of fear, what's going to be your end? Fear. If you live a life of freedom, what's going to be your end? If you sow freedom, the end is freedom. You're free. Down one of these paths, and I'm going to use the Greek word, is diakonia. And down the other is dominative power. Y'all know what dominative power is, don't you? Somebody holding an axe over you and telling you if you don't do so and so, they're going to get you. That's the way the world runs. Which one of you sisters drove down here? Diakonia. D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. That word we translate deacon. We translate it servant. Or slave. Matter of fact, the word I like best for it is lackey. Sister, what's a lackey? You ever heard of the word lackey? You never heard of the word lackey? Lackey. It's a person that never does anything on their own. They just stand around waiting for somebody to tell them what to do. A lackey. But now, which one of you sisters drove here? I got a real giggle when I talked about speeding. Now, let me tell you why we're worried about speeding. Because of dominative power. If we speed and we get caught, what happens, sister? You pay a fine, don't you? See, the only reason that you're afraid of speeding, afraid, fear, is because you're going to get caught and pay a penalty. Well, what if you didn't pay it?
You'd pay another penalty.
Oh, they lock you up, sister. Take your driver's license. Lock you up. See, when you travel that path of living, you become something different than if you travel the other path of being a slave. If you walk around making people do things because you have the power to inflict some kind of punishment on them, whether it's fire them, cut their pay, or whatever, they're different paths. That word that I used, we translate in the Bible, deacon or servant. I wish we'd go back and just use the word servant. Slave, a lackey, a person that's just standing around waiting for somebody to tell him to do something and he'll go do it. Or are you standing around to tell people what to do and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, and you can't make me? Bishop says move. I'm not moving any place. Well, then I won't pay you. Okay, Bishop, I'll move. That happens. These are opposites, and if you walk one down one path by using force to get the things that you want out of life, folks, you're going to be a different person than if you walk down another path of no resistance. Down one of these paths would be the Lamb of God. Down the other path is the Imperial Lion. And folks, those are two spirits. And you live the spirit of the Lamb of God, a little helpless lamb. There isn't a dumber animal on this earth, folks. I mean, you can lead a lamb right over a cliff. Or an Imperial Lion. They're different. And if you travel the path of the Imperial Lion for 5 years, you're going to be a different person than if you travel the way of the Lamb of God for 5 years. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do you know that you and I are called to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Do you know that? Somebody slaps you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. That's the way you take away the sins of the world. Let me give you an example in symbolic ethics of what a Christian is. If George slaps me, and I slap him back, what does rational ethics say about that? Tit for tat. That's just the way it ought to be. David slapped George, and George slapped David back. That's just the way it ought to be. How about if I slap George, and George doesn't slap me back? Now, I think there's probably a number of conclusions you could reach from here. You'd say, well, now, David's a jerk. But wonder why George didn't slap me back. Now, see, I want to try to show us what a Christian ethic is. Even not to slap back isn't a Christian ethic. George might not slap back because David's got a gun in his hip pocket. Does that make George a Christian? It doesn't. I'm not going to slap that sucker. He may pull the gun out and shoot me. And I might not get a chance to shoot him back. See? So, out of fear, he won't shoot. Let's say I slap George, and George mows my yard. Now, folks, that's Christian. That's returning good for evil. Now, here's what I would like to show you in this. What George did covers my sin. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's do it again. Let's say me and George are the only people on the earth. Nobody else on this earth. Imagine this, and I want you to get a grasp of what sin is all about. And I slap George, and George slaps me back. Well, when I slap George, sin goes out across the earth, doesn't it? What happens when George slaps me back? Double the sin. You just doubled sin on the earth. I slap George, and George doesn't slap me back.